Harper Audio presents The Rest of Her Life by Laura Moriarty, performed by Julia Gibson. Chapter 1. Several times that summer, Lee further tormented herself by considering all the ways the accident might never have happened. She thought of the stray dog and how its presence had, in a sense, decided everything. If there had been no dog, there would have been no accident. If the dog would have stayed home where it belonged, if it would have had a more responsible owner, if it wouldn't have dug under a fence or slipped through an open door, it would not have followed some scent this way and that until it ended up in the middle of Commerce Street at that particular time on that particular afternoon. Lee's daughter would most likely have driven home without incident, and Bethany Cleese would still be alive. But the dog was there, standing on the raised median of Commerce, and maybe enjoying its freedom, though Kara later said that it was panting hard when she saw it. It was warm out, the middle of the afternoon of the last day of school. Kara, being a senior, had already been out for a week, but she and Willow had gone back to the high school to pick up their graduation gowns. On the way home, they stopped at the Sonic drive-thru, and when they pulled back onto Commerce, they noticed the dog as it started to step off the median. They watched, cringing, as the dog moved past screeching tires until it reached the other side of the street. Kara, who volunteered Sundays at the animal shelter, who on her 12th birthday asked her parents to take the money they were going to spend on her presents and instead buy food for the shelter's animals, couldn't just drive away. She pulled into the parking lot of Raymond's Liquor, where she and Willow got out of the car, crouched low, and held out their still warm fries to lure the dog away from traffic, into their arms, and eventually the Suburban, that Gary, not Lee, had allowed Kara to start driving around town as soon as she'd gotten her license. So really, Lee often thought, any small change in detail might have altered the horrible outcome. If the stray would have been a different breed of dog, not so friendly, more skittish, it wouldn't have come to the girls, and Kara would not have been so distracted when she pulled back out of the lot. Willow later told the police that they were both laughing, trying to keep the dog in the back seat when they heard the dull thud that turned out to be the sound of the car striking another girl hard enough to kill her. But Lee knew there had been other distractions. Kara had been on the phone. She'd admitted that from the start. Lee imagined the girls had the radio turned up as well, though she never asked if this were true. Lee was a mother capable of tact and sympathy. She tried. She was always trying. Sometimes, however, despite her best efforts, she apparently said the wrong things. When she imagined the interior of the Suburban in those final moments, she pictured the dog as a terrier mix, tan for some reason, like Benji. Lee never actually saw the dog. She didn't even know about the dog and its involvement in the accident until much later, even though when the accident happened, she was just 7 blocks away, teaching 8th grade English at the junior high, as she had been almost every school day for more than a decade. She was 7 blocks away, and she had no idea it had happened. Just after the ambulance arrived, Kara used her cell phone to call her father's office on campus. Gary wasn't there, but the call had gone back to the English department, and the secretary, hearing the distress in the caller's voice, had tracked him down in a faculty meeting on a different floor. Gary told Lee later that when he got on the phone, he didn't recognize their daughter's voice. She was crying hard, and it sounded as if she were shivering, which he remembered thinking made no sense on such a warm day. When he finally understood, he gave the phone to the secretary and ran across the neatly trimmed lawns of campus to the parking lot in his tie and jacket. He had not run so far and so quickly for many years, and when he finally got to his car, he had to stand still for a moment to catch his breath, his hand pressed hard against his heart.